Today, Shir the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos Daf Yud Gimel. We begin on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, 4 lines from the top with the new Mishnah. This is a series of Mishnayos. They're all similar to each other. We'll see in the Gemara why we need to have different Mishnayos here. The Mishnah starts, He omeris mukas eitzani. The woman claims when her husband says that she wasn't a basula, that she was in fact not a ba'ula. She had never had relations with another man, but she had had some traumatic injury, what we've been calling the mukas eitz. She was hit by a piece of wood in Oso Makom, and that caused her to lose physically her basula, but not because a man had ever had relations with her. But the man disagrees. Womer, no. Lo. No, that's incorrect. Ki elo Drusas Ishat. He says, no, that you had relations with a man. Rashi points out that the relations with the man were Kodem Sheirastich, before he was married to her, even the first stage of marriage, and therefore it couldn't be a situation of Nistapcho Sodecha. It wasn't a situation where his field was overrun, over flooded with water, and therefore he would bear responsibility for it. He says this was before we were married, and therefore your Kesuba is not going to be the Kesuba of a Basula. We'll see in the Gemara exactly what the Kesuba would be, if anything. So here we have a machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Relezer again and Rabbi Yehoshua. So Rabbi Gamliel and Relezer omim nehmetis, Rabbi Yehoshua omer lo mipia anu chayin. As we've had in the previous Mishnayos, Rabbi Gamliel and Relezer say that the woman is believed in this situation, and her taina of mukas eitz is accepted. Rabbi Yehoshua says, no, lo mipia anu chayin. We don't live by her mouth. In other words, we can't believe her until she brings proof. Ella, we do is harezu b'cheskas drusas ish, since the likelihood is if a woman doesn't have basulim that she was a drusas ish, that she had relations with a man, that's the more likely explanation, and therefore, acha tovi raya l'dvarel, we don't believe her until she can bring proof that she was a mukas ish. She's never going to be able to bring proof that she hadn't had relations with a man, but she could bring proof of this accident, so therefore, until she could bring proof of her accident, she doesn't have the status of being a mukas eitz, but would be having the status of a be'ula. Now, the Gemara begins and says, Tanosayu b'mai. What exactly is each of them claiming? The chosid who's claiming that she was be'ula, kodem she rastich, and the kala who says, no, she's a mukas eitz. What is the bottom line, the claim that each of them is making? So this is the machlokas of Yochanan Reloza. Yochanan Omar b'mosayim umana, that the machlokas over here is whether she gets 200 or 100. Does she have a ksuba of a basula? That is what she is claiming. Listen, I never had relations, therefore I'm a basula. The fact that I'm a mukas eitz, that is irrelevant. And we'll see, this goes in accord with the opinion of Rav Meir, who says that a mukas eitz gets 200. And his claim is, no, you're a mukas eitz, and you only get 100. You only get a mana. Rabbi Elazar, on the other hand, the Amori Rabbi Elazar Amar, no, the mana v'lo klum. They're debating over here. She's saying that I get a mana, I get a ksuba like a woman who is a non-besula, but I'm still entitled to my ksuba. And Rabbi Elazar's statement that the man, the chassid, would be claiming that she gets nothing at all. Now, let's understand this a little bit further. This more explains. Rabbi Yochanan Amar b'masayim umana, that the tain over here is that the kala says she's entitled to 200 and the chosin says she only gets 100 is because sova lo k'Rabbi Meir, because this goes within the shita of Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir holds, the town of Amishna holds, like Rabbi Meir, the Amar, bein hikir ba ubein lo hikir ba, whether the chosin is aware that she was a mukas eitz before they got married, or whether he's not aware that she's a mukas eitz before she got married, Rabbi Meir's opinion is that mosayim, she is entitled to get mosayim. She gets a full ksuba of a non-be'ula, of a besula. And their chassan agrees that she's entitled to something. He just says that she's entitled to the ksuba only of a mana, of the 100 zuz, as a be'ula like, because mukas eitz is like a be'ula. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. That's the machlokes between the chassan and the kala. It's within the sheet of Rabbi Meir. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar goes like the opinion of the Chachamim. He says the machlokus is whether she gets 100 or she gets nothing. Rabbi Elazar Omer b'mon nevelo klum. The Chassan says she gets nothing because he didn't know that she was a mukas eitz, and therefore she gets nothing. It's a mekach tos. And the Kala says I should get 100. I'm entitled. The Chachamim's opinion is that a mukas eitz gets 100 even if the Chassan didn't know about it. And this goes in accord with the opinion of the Chachamim that we had in yesterday. Shir Sovalek Rabbanan, the Amrei, Bein Hikir Ba, Bein Lo Hikir Ba, Mana. That according to the Kala, she's entitled to get 100 in that situation, whereas the Chassan would say that she's not entitled to get anything because it is a din of Lekach Tos. Now, the Gemara wants to look at this a little bit more closely. The Gemara says, Bishlomo, Rabbi Elazar, the Amora Rabbi Elazar, lo kam like Rabbi Yochanan. Why didn't he want to hold like Rabbi Yochanan? Well, that's obvious, because the kamoke lo kerabbanan. He'd rather establish our Mishnah as being in accord with the opinion of the Rabbim, of the Chachamim, rather than being the Das Yochid of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana Rabbi Eliezer. However, that doesn't explain why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. El Rabbi Yochanan, my time alone, like Rabbi Elazar. Why didn't he want to be in the majority opinion? Why does he list our Mishnah as only being in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Meir? That's a Das Yochid. Why would he want to only have our Mishnah be in accord with Rabbi Meir's opinion when you could easily explain it like the Chachamim? So there's a reason why not. And that is, the Gemara says, Kesavra, because Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that Konso Becheskas Besula, if a man thinks his wife is a Besula, the name says Be'ula, and it turns out that she wasn't a Besula. She has the status of being a Be'ula, so then he holds that Yesh Lo Ksuba Mona. No matter what, she still is entitled to at least a Ksuba of a Mona. So if the Chosin is obligated to give her a Ksuba of a Mona, and her Taina, Hocha, Hukamar Mona, Vikamar Mona, but then she's also Taining that she gets a Mona, as the opinion of the Chachamim, the non-Besula is at least entitled to a Mana. So therefore, then there's no difference between the claim of the husband and the claim of the wife, the one in the world they argue about. Ma'ika ben taino di day, which would be 100, le taino di da, which would be 100. And therefore, he doesn't like the opinion of the Chachamim in this situation. It would be no difference between the Chos and the Kala, according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding. And therefore, he has to make it to be the opinion of Rabbi Meir that would be 200 versus 100. Mori says, wait a second. Bishlomo Rabbi Elazar, again, according to Rabbi Elazar, we have no problem. He says it's 100 versus nothing. That's why we need Hainu Diktoni Tarti. That's why we need our Mishnah today and the Mishnah from yesterday. To remind ourselves, the Mishnah from yesterday was they're having a machlokes whether she did have, in fact, an assault. She was, in fact, a Be'ula, and the machlokes was whether it occurred before the Erisin. The Chassid said it occurred before the Erisin, and therefore it's your problem. And she says, no, it occurred after the Erisin, and Nistavcha Sodecha, and therefore it's your problem. So therefore, in that situation, that was the Mishnah from yesterday. And then today we have the Mishnah, whether they're arguing whether she's a Mukasetz or a Be'ula. So according to Rabbi Elazar, we understand why you need these two Mishnayos. They seem to be very similar, but there's a slight difference between them. And according to Rabbi Elazar, you need that slight difference between the two Mishnayos. Haimu Diktoni Tarti. Why is that? Because you need Chodo, one of the Mishnayos, Lafuke, Midrami Rachama. You need one Mishnah to go and exclude the opinion of Rami Rachama. Now we had Rami Rachama Sita also previously. Our Mishnah is telling us that the Mukas Eitz still gets a Ksuba, even though the husband wasn't aware of it. That as opposed to the opinion of Rami Bar Chama, which we had 2 days ago on Daf Yud Aleph Omud Beis, where we said that the husband would not be required to give her anything if he didn't know that she was the Mukas Eitz. So you need our Mishnah today to teach us that no, even according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, it excludes the opinion of Rami Bar Chama that she gets nothing. She is entitled to get 100. At least according to the Kala. So that excludes the opinion of Rabbi Rachab, who says she wouldn't be entitled to anything. And didn't need yesterday's Mishnah from Yud Beis Omud Beis, the case of she's claiming that she was Be'ula under his watch, and he's saying, no, you were Be'ula before Misha Erastich. So he says, you need that Mishnah, the Chod Lafuke with Rabbi Chia Barav and Omer Rishashis. We need to exclude the opinion of Rabbi Chia Barav and Omer Rishashis, which was a Mekach Tos. And you need to teach us here that the opinion of Rabbi Chia Bar Oven, Omer Rishashis, was that even a Mekach Tos, it didn't mean you get nothing. You get 100, so here it means to tell us that no, you get nothing. So therefore, you need these two Mishnayos to tell us that both the opinion of Rabbi Bar Chama and the opinion of Chia Bar Oven, Omer Rishashis, have been rejected by these two Mishnayos. Elul Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, so yes, we reject the opinion of Rabbi Bar Chama, but we don't reject the opinion of Chia Bar Rav and Amar Rishashis. So therefore, El Rabbi Yochanan Tarti Lomeli. He in fact does hold that no matter what, the woman is entitled to something. So therefore, there is no chiddush in the Mishnah from yesterday if we have today's Mishnah. So why would Rabbi Yochanan need both Mishnais? So he says, no, even Rabbi Yochanan would need both Mishnais to accent the strength of the two respective shitas, even in the following situations. Chodo, you need one Mishnah, Lodiach HaKocha de Rabbi Gamliel. You need to stress the strength of the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, which we'll explain in a moment. And you need the other Mishnah, to stress the strength of the opinion of Yeshua, and even in those two extreme situations, Rabbi Gamliel holds like his opinion, and Yeshua holds like his opinion. When we say Rabbi Gamliel, we also mean the Tana Rabbi Eliezer. In any event, you need the first Mishnah, Kamaiso, Lodiach HaKoch of Yeshua. You need yesterday's Mishnah from Yudbeis of Yudbeis to teach us the strength of Yeshua's opinion. The Afal Gav Deiko Lemei Mar Migu, even though there the woman could have claimed the Migu, as we said, she could have said, I'm a Mukaseitz. Instead, she said, no, I was Nenasti. I was never raped after I was under your protection, under your domain. So so then in that situation, you need to show that even there, Rabbi Shua says that she's not entitled to a ksuba. And therefore, even with the migui, Rabbi Shua says, lo mehemna, we don't believe her. That's the strength of Rabbi Shua, that even when there's a migui, he doesn't say we believe the woman. Lo mipia anu chayin. And you need today's Mishnah, Basraisa, you need today's Mishnah, Lodiach HaKoch de Rav Gamliel, to show us the strength of Rav Gamliel's Shita, that even when there is no Migu, in the case today of Mukas Eitz, there is no Migu, she had no alternative taina that she could have made that would be better. So therefore, you need today's Mishnah, Basraisa, Lodiach HaKoch de Rav Gamliel, the Afal Gav Lech HaLemem HaMigu, Mehemna. Even though there is no Migu, he still nevertheless says that we believe the woman. Okay. That was, in a way, a chazara of the last couple of days, Shitos. So now we go weiter. We have another Mishnah that's very similar. Again, a machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Eliezer versus Rabbi Yoshua. And this Mishnah will have two different scenarios. And the first one is as follows. Re'uah midaberes im echad. We see that she is, now midaberes normally means that she's speaking with somebody, but we'll have two interpretations of the Gemara, that midaberes means either she closeted herself away with somebody, she secluded herself with somebody, or it means it's a euphemism for that she actually had relations with somebody. Nobody says it means just speaking to somebody. There would be no issa whatsoever in her just speaking with somebody. So ra'uah midaberes emechot, if we see the unmarried woman who is speaking with someone else, so again, either she closeted herself away with him, or she actually had relations with him. The Gemara will have a machlokas, and we'll explain the two possibilities. So if we see this woman doing this, so we say to her, Mativo Shalize, this man that you were either alone with or had relations with, was he a man who will apostle you, and you won't be able to marry a Kohen or not? So what is the nature of this person? Mativo Shalize, is he a kosher person, or is he a apostle person? So she states, Ish ploni v'koinu. She states he is a perfectly kosher person, and for example, he's a kohen. In other words, he's a yichasdika person, and he doesn't have any lineage problems that would possible her from in the future marrying a kohen. This goes, of course, according to the opinion, that if she were to have had even relations one time with another man, it doesn't make it to her zona. There is an opinion that says even if she has one time relations, it makes her into a zona, but this would go, obviously, not according to that opinion. Now, that is the scenario. So Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Omrim, both Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say in this situation that we believe her. Namenis, the woman is believed when she says that she's not psula to marry a Kohen because this man was a kosher man. He had a lineage that wouldn't make her psula to marry a Kohen. And again, Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. Yeshua Omer Elo Mipiyonu Chayim, we don't live by her mouth. In other words, she doesn't have an emanus in this situation. Ella, harezu b'cheskas be'ula. We obviously have to be concerned that she had relations with this person, whether we have witnesses that she actually did, or that she just was closeted away with him, and we just don't know who the man was. So in either situation, we have to be concerned that she was either closeted away with or had relations with a lenotzen or lamamzer, people that were pasula. We have the famous rule, nivela lapasula, so then she is psula. So if she were to have relations with a person that would make her prohibited to a Kohen, she's not allowed to marry the Kohen. So here we have to be Choshesh, Rabbi Yeshua says, since we don't know who this person is, that maybe it was in Austin, who's one of the Givonim, that are also level a call, and therefore would passel her to go marry a Kohen, and or that he was a Mamzer, that would passel her from going and marrying a Kohen in the future. Unless Asha Tovi Raila Dorel, until she can be a Raya, that the person she was closeted with or had relations with was in fact not a passel person, and therefore she would still be eligible to marry a Kohen, but she has to bring a Raya. That's case number one in this Mishnah. Case number two is very similar. Here we're dealing with, not that we have a concern that she was closeted away or that she had relations with somebody, but we know for a fact that she had relations with somebody. Hoysa me'uberes, the woman is pregnant. So obviously, we don't believe in immaculate conception. So this woman had relations with somebody. So Amrullah, so the Chacham say to a new Mativu Shalubrzeh, who was the husband? What is the nature of this child? In other words, is this child kosher if it's a girl to go marry a Kohen? Because granted it was born out of wedlock, but that's not a psul to marry a kohen. So therefore, what was the father's nature? And therefore, what is the child's nature? So she says, the woman says, may ish ploni the kohenu. Again, it was a perfectly yichasdik person. He was a kosher person for me to have relations with. It wouldn't possible for me to go and marry a kohen. For example, he was a kohen, the kohenu. Again, that's just an example. Lav Dafka Rashi had said that it means literally had to be a kohen. It just means that it was a person that wouldn't possible. So in this situation, that's her taina. Again, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer, Omrim, yes, we believe her, Nenenes. And Yeshua says, no, we don't believe her. Lo mipio anu chayim. We don't necessarily believe what she says. We have to assume the worst case scenario that she was impregnated by a person that would possibly her lakuna, such as a nosin or a mamzer. And therefore, unless she can bring a raya otherwise, we have to assume that she and the ubar inside of her, if it's a girl, are going to be psula lakuna. Unless she can bring a raya that the person was ishploni vikoinu, that he was a yichastik, a person that wouldn't possibly her lakuna. So we have two cases over here. So we start off with the first one, with the Medaberis case. We call it the Medaberis case and the Mulberis case. So the Gemara says the obvious question, my Medaberis, what does it mean that she was talking to this man? So obviously it can't mean talking, because that wouldn't answer her to a calling. So Ziri Amar Nistara, Ravasi Amar Nivala. Here are the two opinions. Ziri's opinion is that she was closeted away with this guy. She secluded herself with this guy, and we don't know who the guy was, but there was obviously a long enough period of time that she was secluded that they could have had Bia, and therefore we have to be concerned that they did. Ravasi says, no, we have witnesses that she actually had relations with him, albeit those witnesses don't know who the man was. Now, Gemara says, Bishlam al-Ziri, we understand according to Ziri, who says that Nistara, that she just closeted herself away with this guy. We have witnesses she closeted herself away with this guy, but we don't have witnesses that she had relations with him. Hainu diktoni midaberis. We understand why the Lashon of midaberis is used, because it doesn't mean that she was Nevala. Ella, Ravasi, my midaberis. Why do we use this Lashon of midaberis? Say she was Nevala. Okay, we understand why Ziri said midaberis. It was using a terminology that meant she closeted herself away with him by using the term midaberis. But if it's actual be'ilo, say so. So it says no. Even according to Ravasi, it used the lashon midaberis because it wanted to use a lashon naki. Lishna ma'ayasa. Ravasi would say that the Mishnah didn't want to use a vulgar term such as to say that she was nivala, that she actually had relations. So it uses a lashon naki, a euphemism, lishna ma'aya, to say that the woman was midaberis, but it meant be'ula, that she had relations. Kiddusiv, and we bring a pasuk from Mishle, where we see that the Torah likes to use a Lashon Nakia. We have many places. I'm not sure why they gave this pasuk specifically for Mishle. It's because it deals with sexual relations, but we have many other examples where the Torah uses a Lashon Nakia rather than specifically expressing something that is not a Lashon Nakia. The Torah doesn't have a word for a woman's genitalia. It calls it osamakam. We don't have words. The Torah sometimes doesn't have words. The Hebrew language doesn't have terms that are somewhat vulgar. So, where do we see this in Mishle? The pasuk tells us about a woman having relations. It uses this euphemism. Ochla, she ate, meaning that she had relations. Umocha sopia, and then she wipes away her mouth. It means she wipes away osomokom. And she says, lo palti oven, I did nothing wrong. So, we see that we use Lashon Nekia. So, therefore, Ravatzi said the Mishnah wanted to use a Lashon Nekia of Mindaberis rather than saying Niv Elis. Now, Mor says, that works out great for Ziri. Well, we have two cases in the Mishnah. Mishlom al-Ziri, Hainu Dukhtoni Tarti, Midaberes, Umeuberes. We understand why we have the first part of the Mishnah that talks about the woman who's Midaberes, because Ziri says that means Nistara. She was just secluded. She was just closeted away with the guy. And the second part of the Mishnah is Umeberes, where she vada had relations. So we understand why Ziri needs to tell us there's a Reisha and a Sefer. But according to the opinion of Ravasi, that they both are the same thing. The Reisha is talking about she had relations, and Muberis is obviously talking about where she had relations. So then, El Ravasi, Tarti Lamali, why do we need two cases in the Mishnah? What does it add by having the second case in the Mishnah? So Ravasi would say, no. Chodol hachshir ba, v'chodol hachshir bebita. So the first part of the Mishnah, which says that she had relations, that's to say that she, according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer, is still nemenes, that she had relations with a man who wouldn't possible her for the Kohen. And Yeshua says, no, we have to assume the worst. She had a relations with a sin or a mamzer, and therefore she's Asura Likuhuna. So that talks about her. And the second case, the Mubaris, is talking about her daughter that would be born, this Uber inside of her, if it's a girl. So Rabbi Galil and Rabbi Yeshua have the argument. Rabbi Galil and Rabbi Lezer say that she's Nemanis to say that not only is she Kosher Likuhuna, but even the child inside of her would be Kosher Likuhuna. And Yeshua says, in this case as well, the child's not Kosher Likuhuna. Now, why do you need both? According to the Mandiyama, it says that if you believe her for herself, you also have to believe her for the daughter. The two are connected. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer would hold that in the both situations, the mother is believed, and then she's believed to say about the daughter. So she's believed to say about herself that she's not psula lacuna, and she's believed to say that the daughter that will be born is not psula lacuna. But that's only according to Man D'Yoma, says that the two go hand in hand. Ela Man D'Yoma L'Divrei HaMachshir Bo Posel Bebito. But there is an opinion that says, if in fact she is believed for herself, she's not necessarily believed for her daughter inside of her, the Ubar that will eventually come out and be a girl, so then she's not believed for that, so Ma'ikel Meimer. So then, what would Rav Asi say you need two parts of the Mishnah for? If you hold that the two go hand in hand, so then you need the first part to tell us that she believed for herself, and the second part, the Milberis, the teacher that she believed for the child inside of her. But that's great if you hold like that, but if you don't hold like that, then why would Rav Asi say that you need two opinions? So Gemara says, obviously, Ma'ikel Meimer, in this situation, what would you say? Rav Asi Sover, Kiman D'Yomar, L'Divri HaMachshubo, Machshubavita. So Rav Asi would have to say, like the opinion that says that if you're machshir her, if you believe in her, let's say that she is believed for herself, so then they must also hold like the opinion that says she is believed to state about her daughter as well. So Rav Asi can only go according to the opinion that says, L'divri ha-machshir ba, machshir bevita. He can't go like the opinion that says, L'divri ha-machshir ba, posel bevita. Gemara says, Amalei Rav Papa li Abaye. Rav Papa says to Abaye, we still got a problem with Zeire over here. Zeire was the one that said that Medaberes meant Nistra. According to Liziri, the Omar, my Midaberes means Nistera. The word Midaberes is talking about she closeted herself away with this guy. Beyond Rabbi Shua, lo mehem, Rabbi Shua says she's not believed in the situation. How can that be? Omar Rav had said that if a woman closeted herself away with somebody, Malkin Ali Yichud, yes, we'll give Malkus. It's inappropriate for the woman to have been over the Isra of Yichud. However, being Ostrin Ali Yichud, unless we have proof that she had relations, so then we don't ask her to go marry a Kohen, or Asura to her husband if she just had yichud with somebody else. So Lema de Loka Rishua. Does Rav's opinion only go with Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer? He doesn't go in accord with Rabbi Yoshua because Rabbi Yoshua says that she's not allowed to marry a Kohen, and Rav says that she would be allowed to stay with her husband. So the Gemara says, no, Afilu Tem Rabbi Yoshua. Rav's opinion could even go in accord with Rabbi Yoshua. Why is that? Because Rav would agree that she's allowed to go and stay married to her husband if she closeted herself away with somebody else. However, in regards to Yichus, even Rabbi Yeshua would agree with Rav's din, Rabbi Yeshua says we have a higher standard for Yichus, Ma'ala Osu B'yuchsin, and therefore, while we would let her stay with her husband, who she's already married to, but to go L'chadchila and go and marry a Kohen, so Rabbi Yeshua would say, in this situation, we don't go let her marry a Kohen. If she's already married to somebody, and all she did, quote, was Yichud, so then we would let her stay married to that person. Rabbi Yeshua agrees with Rav's din. But if you're asking L'chadchila, could she go and marry a Kohen, so Ma'ala Osu B'yuchsin, he was very strict about lineage and said, no, don't let it go marry a Kohen. Why take any chances? We ask another question now on Rav Asi. Rav Asi, who said that Medaberes means Niveles, that she had relations. So Meisve, we ask in the following brice on Rav Asi again. Ra'ua shenichnaso im echod l'seiser. And we turn to Yud Gimel Amud Beis. O l'churva. We see that this woman went and either closeted herself away with somebody. That's l'seiser. Or she went into a churva. Rashi tells us a churva is an area that's stoma lebi'ila. People only went to the churva. That's like a private place where they can go engage in their illicit activities. Shumokum z'nus. It's a mokum where people would go and never commit immoralities. So either the seiser or the churva. There are two things that are mentioned over here. So they asked this woman who went into this place, the seiser, to closet herself away with the man, or to this churba, where there's a presumption she had sexual relations. No, who will you closet away with? What is the nature of this person? In other words, is he going to pass you for the kuna or not? So again, the woman responds and she says, Kohenu. He was a yichestika person. He's a Kohen, for example. Again, lab davka Kohen. He was a man who wouldn't pass me the kuna. In fact, he was my cousin, Uben Achi Abahu. She is a bas Kohen. Her father is a Kohen. Her uncle, her father's brother, is a Kohen. And this is her uncle's son, so he's a Kohen, so he's my cousin, and he's perfectly kosher if I were to have had relations with him. He doesn't possible me from marrying a Kohen in the future. So again, do we believe her or not? So Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Ne'emenes. Again, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer say we follow the woman's opinion. Ne'emenes, she is believed, and she could still marry a Kohen. Yeshua again says, Omer lo mi piha anu chayim. We cannot accept what she says. We don't live by her mouth. In other words, unless she brings a raya, we have to assume the worst case scenario. We have to assume the worst, that she had relations with somebody that would possibly her lakuna, so if she were to go and have relations with the Nesinu Mamzer, it would make her into a psula, and she wouldn't be allowed to go and marry a Kohen, unless Achatovi Raya Lidura, until she can bring a Raya, that in fact it wasn't a Nesinu or Mamzer, it was a kosher person, such as a Kohen. Okay. Now, why is this a Kashin Ravasi? So the Gemara says, Bishlam Ziri, according to Ziri, says that Midaberis means Niveles, so we understand why we need two cases over here in this Brisa, Liseiser and Lechurva. So Hainu Diktoni Tarti, Liseiser, which means like Midaberis, she just closeted herself away. Oh, Lechurva, that's like Vadai that she had relations. So we need both of these cases to tell us that Rabban Gamliel and Rabban Elazar believe her in this situation. Oh, that's why it says, Liseiser, O Lechurva. Exactly like Ziri understood Midaberis and Meuberis. El Ravasi, Domin Nivala, according to Ravasi, it says Midaberis case is talking about Nivala, so then Tarti Lomali, so then why do we need both cases over here, Lesaser and Lechurva? It seems to be unnecessary because if you're saying Lesaser, it means that she had relations. So therefore, Lesaser and Lechurva are saying the same thing. Why do we need both of them mentioned? That's the Kasha on Ravasi. Where it says, no, don't read it Lesaser O Lechurva, read it Chaduk Tani. It's only one case, Lesaser Dechurva. She was closeted away in a churva, which by definition is like having had relations. Where it says that's not what it said. Bala Seser O Lechurva Ktani. It mentioned both cases, implying that they're two separate cases over here. So where it says no. Chodo Lechurva de Masa, the Chodo Lechurva de Dabra. Ravasi would have to understand that as being two separate types of churva. And you need to tell me both cases. So it's Leseser, meaning to a churva in the city, and the churva means a churva out in the wilderness, in the dabra, in the fields. Utsrichin, you need both cases, because the Yashminon churva de Masav, you only told me that she went into this churva in the city. You know what I would have said then? Maybe, the Komachshir, Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Eliezer, Mishum Derov, Ksherim Etzla. In that situation, you're living, as here Rashi says, in a Jewish city, so the people that would have had relations with her are going to come, the majority, Be'ir Sherubi Yisrael Ksherim Kamar. So therefore, the likelihood statistically is that if she had relations with somebody, it would be somebody who's kosher from this city. The majority of the people in the city are kosher Yidden, so it wouldn't possible her. Only in that situation, I might have thought the Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say that the woman is Nemenis. However, I might have said Avo Lechurva de Davra if she goes out into the field. As Rashi points out in this situation, so this could be a person, Echad Misofa Olam Bolakan, Virova Olam Ovde Kochavim. Now you're dealing with the majority of the world being people that would passel her. And therefore, maybe in that situation, Ema Moda Leila Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lez would be molded to Rabbi Yeshua in this situation. So therefore, Kamash Balan, that's why it has to tell us both cases. No, tell us just the case of the Davra to tell me the strength of Rabban Gamliel, that even in that situation, in Menace, then we wouldn't know that Rabbi Yeshua disagrees, even in the more lenient case. Yeshmin Bahayi, if we only told us the case of the Davra out in the wilderness, so Bahayi come Rabbi Yeshua only. In that situation, Rabbi Yeshua says we don't believe him. Abu Baha, but in the case of in the city, where the majority of the people are kosher people, I might have thought, maybe Rabbi Yeshua would say, yes, he is the menace in the situation. Kamash Alon, no, that's not true. Rabbi Yeshua argues, even in that case, Sricha. Therefore, that's why we need Leseser O Lechurva to teach us both the Churva de Masa and the Churva de Davra, according to Ravasi. Mara tries again and brings down another problem with Ravasi, Meisvei, from the following Brisa. This Brisa, Rashi tells us we're in the middle of this Brisa. It's a Tosefta. And Rashi tells us, Indi Ramaschu Zu Eda Sha'isha Atzma Kishera Lomar Lekosha Nivalti. This is dealing with a situation where a woman is testifying that she is Nivellus to a person that would not possible her to marry a Kohen. And they're in the middle of this Brisa, this Tosefta, and the Gemara says, Zu Eda Sha'isha Kishera Lo Rabbi Yeshua Mer Einan Amenes. Rabbi Yeshua argues with the prior opinion, which we don't have spelled out over here, but that's Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, who say that the woman is believed to say that she was nevelas to a kshera, someone who's kshera law, and Rabbi Yeshua disagrees and says, Eino ne'emenes. As Rashi says, she wouldn't be permitted in this situation, linose lekohen, she's psula lekuna. Now, Amal and Rabbi Yeshua, we're in the middle of a conversation here between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Yeshua tells them, don't you at least admit, iatem modim, in a situation, Bishvuya Shinishbase Vieshlo Edim Shinishbase. In a situation where we don't know that a woman was captured and she said, I was captured below Niveles, so then Hapesh Asa Pesha Hiter. So then in that situation we could believe her. But here we have independent testimony that she was a captive, and therefore there is a presumption that a captive woman Nebuch is going to be assaulted. So here we have a Shvuya, a woman who was captured, Jewish woman who was captured, and then she was redeemed, and there are witnesses that she was captured, so there's no longer a Pesh Asa, Pesh Hiter. She's telling us she was captured, but she wasn't in Velas. Nevertheless, she still states, listen, while I was in captivity, nobody assaulted me, and therefore I'm still Muteris Likahuna, She'ena Namanis. So Rabbi Yeshua says to Gamaliel and Rabbi Elazar, don't you agree in this situation that she is not believed because we have a presumption, Nebuch, that she was Neveles? So Amrlo, Aval, they said yes. Aval means yes. Rashi brings down, Hain. The word avol means yes, like we have the pasuk avol sora ishticha parshas lech lecha. The metagum minon, the tagum uncle is there, says it means bekushta, it means it's truth, yes. So they responded, yes, we agree with you in that situation. So Rabbi Shua says, I gotcha. Umahef reish yesh ben zu lezu. Why is this any different in regarding to the woman who's captured that you're saying you agree with me if we have evidence that she was captured, and it's not a Pesh Asa Pesh Hita situation? So how come in that situation we don't believe the woman, and yet in this situation where the woman was closeted alone with the other person, that you do believe her and say that she didn't have relations? What's the difference between the two? So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar respond back, because Lazu Yesh Edim, because here in the woman that Nebuch was captured, we have Edus that she was Nishbeis, and therefore there is a strong presumption that Nebuch, she was Nivelis. However, in this situation, we only have evidence that she was closeted away. That's not the same thing as saying that she was Nivelis. Velazu, Ela Edim, and therefore that's why we differentiate between the two cases. Rishua says to them still, Omer Lehem, Af Lazu Yesh Edim, Sharei Kirei So Bein Shineos. He says, but what about the situation of Meuberes? The Meuberes, you can't say that maybe she was only Nisteris. Meuberes, there's witnesses, Kirei So Bein Shineos, her pregnant stomach, her pregnant belly. So that is what is establishing that she is in fact a woman who was Nivelis. How is that any different than the captive woman where we have Edus that she was Nivelis essentially? Here too, we have, what better proof could you have than the fact that she's pregnant? Kreis of Enchinel, literally means her stomach is in between her teeth. In other words, her belly is rising up. Her baby inside of her is bringing her stomach up to the point of where it's adjacent to her mouth. A woman has a large belly, Baruch Hashem, when she is towards the end of the pregnancy. So this is also proof. So why are the two cases different? So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar say back to Rabbi Yeshua, Amalo, because Rov of the Kochavim Perutzim Barayasem. Because the difference is, when Nebuch, she was captured by Goyim, so the Goyim acted in a very immoral fashion. And certainly in those days, there was a presumption that Nebuch, they raped her. As opposed to when she was closeted away with a person, there is no such presumption. And Yeshua responds back to him, he says, Amalem, no, Ein Apotropos L'Arayas. There is no guardian over here making sure that she doesn't have Arayas, that she didn't commit an immorality when she's alone with this man, and therefore the presumption there too, Rabbi Yeshua tells them, is that she had relations. Now, Gemara says, Bamedvar Mamurim, the Braisa continues and says, under what circumstances do Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar say that we believe the woman, Emenes, that's Be'edus Isha Begufa, that's in regards to herself, to say that she's eligible still to marry the Kohen. I will Edus Isha Bebita, but about this Muberes, about the child that's going to be born, if it's a girl, so Divri Akol Havlad Shuki. So in this situation, everybody agrees, the Braisa says, that the Vlad is a shtuki. A shtuki is normally translated as a child that we shush when he says, is this my father, is this my father, because we don't know who the father is. Here, however, we'll see that it means something else, but right now we're assuming it means a regular case of a shtuki. Now, a shtuki is not permitted to go and marry a Kohen. Now, Gemara says, let's understand this conversation between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar a little bit better. What exactly did the conversation between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar consist of? What did each one say to each other? So Gemara says, Hochi Kamrile. This is what Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Yeshua. Hey Shavtonu al Hamuberes. Yes, in regards to Muberes, you gave us a teretz. Tosa says they don't agree with that teretz. Tosa says that's only according to Rabbi Yeshua, but we can understand your opinion in that situation. In any event, however, they say back to Rabbi Yeshua, yes, you taught us the case of the Muberes, Eshavtonu al Muberes. However, Matishivenu al Muberes. But what about the case where the woman was closeted away with the man in that situation? Why don't you believe the woman in that situation? So Rabbi Yeshua responds back to them, Amar lahem, Rabbi Yeshua responds back to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel, and he says, Medaberes hainu shvuya. He says, the case of the woman who's closeted away with somebody is no different than the shvuya. In both cases, we have to presume that the woman had relations. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer disagree with that, however. Amar lo, they say back to Rabbi Yeshua, no, there's a difference. Shaini shvuya, the difference is by the shvuya, that's the case where she's captured by Ovdei Kochavim, and the Ovdei Kochavim proves us why Rai is same. There, Nebuch is going to definitely have assaulted her. There's a presumption, a strong presumption that they assaulted her, because that's the way they are. They are immoral, and they would assault the women that they captured in those days. But in the case of the Nisteres, so Lavdavka, is there a presumption that she was assaulted, that she had relations? And Rabbi Shua responds back to that with the idea, Amalem, Hanami, it's the same din. No difference between the Shvuya and the Nisteres, because Kivan the Estase, once she's alone with the man, Ein apotropos le'arayis. The likelihood of relations is high. If the man and the woman are alone together, so things happen. And therefore, there's no difference between the Shvuya, according to Rabbi Yeshua, and the Nisteres. Now, Mora says, Katani mias tarti. The Braisa clearly has two cases over here, midaberes and miuberes. So why do you need two cases according to Ravasi? Ravasi says that midaberes is having relations. So then there's no difference between the midaberes and miuberes case. Tiyufta de Ravasi, tiyufta. This was slugging up Ravasi, and yes, it is a good slugging up of Ravasi, and his opinion that midaberes means nevelis is very difficult. Mora says, let's go and continue and discuss this machlokas between Rishua and Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, in this Braisa. Why don't we say that the difference between the woman who was a nishbase, captive, and the woman who was, quote, midaberes, meaning she was just closeted away with a man, is the hosim rov besulin etzlaw, the hosim rov sharin etzlaw. No, the difference should be, even according to Rabbi Yeshua, that in the case of the nishbase, where the woman was captured, so she's captured by Goyim. And therefore, the likelihood that she was assaulted is high, and that she was assaulted by a person who opposed her to Kahuna is very, very high. But when she's closeted away with a man in a city that's mostly Jews, so then the likelihood is, even if she did have relations with a man, she had relations with somebody that won't pass her Kahuna. Why doesn't Rabbi Yeshua say that? So one says, this is Messiah Leila Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. This is in accord with what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said. Don't confuse Rabbi Yeshua with Yeshua ben Levi, two different people. But this is in accord with what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said. What did he say? The Amar Yeshua ben Levi, L'divri ha-machshir, machshir afilu b'ro psulin. That according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, who say that the woman is believed, they believe her even in a situation such as the captivity, where it is ro psulin. Nevertheless, they had a Kabbalah, they had a Mesorah, that in fact the woman is believed in that situation. And Ledivri Apostle, according to Rabbi Shua, who doesn't believe the woman, and says she's now psula lakuna, posel afil b'rov sherim. He had the understanding that once you suspect that she had relations with a nasin or a mamzer or somebody that would make her posel, so then we have to presume that that was the case, even if the majority of the people that could have had relations with her are in fact sherim. Where it continues, says Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan tells us, "Ledivri ha-machshir bo, machshir bevito. Ledivri ha-posel bo, posel bevito." Like we said previously, there are two opinions over here. This is the opinion that we had brought down before that Ravasi had to go according with, and that was Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that if you have a machshir with her, if you believe her, or Gamliel or Eliezer believe the mother to say that she herself is muteris to marry a Kohen, so then you automatically also have to believe her in regards to a daughter. This should be no difference. If you believe the mother for herself, so then obviously it carries through, and you believe the daughter that she's muteris l'kahuna as well. Whereas Rabbi Elazar disagrees. Rabbi Elazar says, no, we believe the mother, according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar, L'divri Yamachshir Ba, yes, they believe her. However, Lav Davka, Postel Bibita, do they believe her for the daughter as well? Now, why should there be such a distinction? According to Rabbi Yochanan, makes very good sense. You believe the mother, so you believe her throughout. It's belief for herself and belief for the daughter. But why would Rabbi Elazar say that you only believe the mother for herself, but not for her daughter? So I'm a rabbi. My time with the Loza. What is the rationale to Rabbi Loza to differentiate between, yes, we believe her in regards to herself, but we don't believe her in regards to the daughter? So he says, Bishloma ihi islo chazoko de kashrus. So Rabbi Loza would explain the reason is because the mother has a cheskes kashrus. Until right now, this woman was permissible to marry a Kohen. So we have a chazoka, she's permissible to marry a Kohen. So when we believe the mother, according to Rabbi Galil and Rabbi Eliezer, so then her Nemenes on herself continues the chazaka. However, this uber inside of her, bita, if this is a girl, less lo chazaka de kashrus, this child is born without having chazaka that she's muteras lekuna, this child is born into a suffix situation, and therefore you don't have the chazaka to schlep along to say that she should be muteris likahuna. That would be Rabbi Elazar's understanding. Esve Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Rabbi Elazar asks Rabbi Yochanan the following question. When the woman is believed, you're saying she's believed about herself. But that brisa that we brought down states that when it comes to the testimony of the mother of this unborn child inside of her, that child is a shtuki. Now, a shtuki is normally forbidden to marry a kohen. So therefore, how can you say that we believe the mother not only for herself, but also in regards to the child? So Rav Yochanan, how can you say that? So Gemara says, my lav shtuki upasul, isn't this a regular case of shtuki, and a shtuki is possible to go and marry a kohen? So this girl that's born, the shtuki, is Besula lakuhuna, kashan Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan has to reinterpret what it means, shtuki. Lo, it means shtuki, that this child is a shtuki in some respect, but is the kosher to still marry a kohen. So Rav Elazar says, what are you talking about? Mika, shtuki, kosher. What is this? What do you mean shtuki is kosher to marry a kahuna? So what does it mean that it is shtuki? In what way do we tell the child, shush, don't say anything? So Rav Yochanan says, yes, we do have such a situation in, and this is like Kiddush Shmuel, like what Shmuel said. We learned this in previously in Yevamos, Yom Shmuel. Asara kohanim omdim. If you have 10 kohanim that are there, all of them are not going to passel a woman if they have relations with her. Upirish echad mehem, and one of them goes and is closeted away with this woman, ubal, and they have relations. Now, we don't know which one of the 10. Havlad shtuki. This Vlad is also called a shtuki. In what sense? My shtuki. In what sense is this Vlad a shtuki? If we're saying that he doesn't have the right to go, and if one of these 10 Kohanim die, to go and say, you are possibly my father, and I should be included in the Yerusha with all your other children, Pasha, Pshita. It's obvious that that's not the case, because we have no idea who the father is. It's one of these 10, and each of the Vadai children of this, any one of the 10 that dies, can say, prove to us that you're his son, and we'll be happy to give you a share. Otherwise, you get nothing. So obviously, we don't need to say this is a shtuki in regards to the Yerusha. So what does it mean, shtuki? Elo shemashtikin oso midin kahuna. So midirabanan, we don't let him participate as a kohen, because we have a drush over here. It's really an asmachto dursiv. Bris kihunas olam. This is from Parshas Pinchas, next week's Parsha, where it says that it'll be forever for Pinchas, he'll be a Kohen, and for all of his children afterwards, they'll be eternally Kohanim. Now, that implies Mishazaro Miyuchas Achra, a child who is known definitely be the son of this Kohen, is allowed to go and continue to work as a Kohen. Implication being, Yotzozet, in this situation where the child is definitely a Kohen by biological descent, he was one of his father's one of these 10 Kohanim, and they're all kosher Kohanim, nevertheless, he can't go and do the Avodah. Yotzezeh, based upon this pasuk in Pinchas, it's an asmachta, Yotzezeh she'en zaro miyuchas achro, since he doesn't know who his father is, so therefore he can't work as a Kohen. But this child, if it is a girl, is a perfectly good kosher child and could go and marry a Kohen. So therefore, that's what it means, shtuki over here, according to Rav Yochanan. It's a shtuki, if it's a boy, that he can't go and work as any one of those 10 specific son in the Avodah, in the Beis HaMikdash. But, in terms of his status of being a Kohen, he would be Vaday a Kohen. No doubt about that. And if it's a girl, Vaday would be Kshera to marry into the Kahuna. Maisa Shoya, how Oros Varusoso. There once was a man who was married, the first stage of marriage, to a woman, and the Osul Kami to Rav Yosef, and they came in front of Rav Yosef because she was pregnant. Now, they hadn't gone through the second stage of marriage, so she's obviously Asura to the entire world, including her husband. But in this situation, they came in front of Rav Yosef, and she said, "He amra minay, v'hu amar in return to Yudal and Aleph, in minay." So they're both admitting that they had relations with each other. They were first stage of marriage, they're in love with each other, and they succumbed to their temptation before they had the nisuin. So each of them is saying that, yes, I had relations with my husband, with my wife. Each of them is saying that, and therefore, the baby that is born here is definitely, I'm the father of this baby. It's not a question that she was Mizana. The woman says, I had relations with my husband after the first stage of marriage. We weren't allowed to, but we did. And the husband says, yes, in. That is true. As Rashi says, MS, mimenihu, this baby is for me. So they came to Rav Yosef to Paskin. I'm Rav Yosef Paskin. He said, "Lamai nechushla. What should we be concerned about over here? That this child should be asur? This child should be a mamzer? Number one, chada d'ha komoda. The man admits over here. So therefore, there is no reason to suspect that this child is really a mamzer. Furthermore, number two, v'yod ha'amr v'yud ha'mashmur halochi ramulil." Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that the halacha, as we had previously, is like Rabbi Gamliel, that the wife is their menace. So therefore, in this situation, there is no concern that this Vlad is a mamzer. Morris says, Amalei Abai says to Rav Yosef, why did you need both reasons? Ubaha, in this situation, let's say the husband hadn't admitted, ki lo mode, if the husband had not admitted that it was his child, would in this situation, in fact, Rabbi Gamliel have admitted that the woman has a kosher of Vlad inside of her? Ubaha, ki lo mode. If it wasn't a case where the husband admitted, would machshir Rabban Gamliel to say that she is believed? After all, v'amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, shinina. Yes, halachik Rabban Gamliel in this situation. However, he told him, v'at lo tavit uvda. But don't carry this out halacha l'maisa adikarov k'sherin etzla. Unless you also have halacha l'maisa to carry it out, the fact that the majority of the people that she could have had relations with are going to make the baby inside of her a kosher baby and not make the baby inside of her psula l'kahuna. Now here, 100% of the people in the world are not kasherin etzla. Even her husband is not kasherin etzla, but that wouldn't make the child over here a mamzer. But everybody else is also to her and would make the child a mamzer. So everybody's going to apostle this child. So how can you tell us that in this situation, if it wasn't for the fact that the husband admitted when you said va'od, that would be the case? In this situation, Rabbi Gamliel would not be moda, since it's the vast majority that would apostle her. So that's what Abaye asked Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says no. And according to you, what, you have no problems? Ultamech tich shilah he gufa. So then you could ask the same question on yourself. Halacha va'at lo tavid uvda. If this is the halacha, so then why can't you paskin it? Why do you need the rove in addition? Right? According to you, Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, shinina halacha Rav Leo, but lo tavid uvda adi ika rove k'sherin etzla. Why would that be the case? What would you respond to that? It's the difference between ho lechatchila ho b'diavet. That lechatchila, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says that we follow the halacha like Rabbi Gamliel. Don't carry it out lemaisa unless, in fact, you have the majority along with it, because that's a lechatchila question. So say, no, don't get married. Don't let the kohen marry this girl because maybe she's a psula. But if you have the rov, then you can marry, let him get married lechatchila. But b'diavet, after the fact, if the Kohen had married this woman, we wouldn't make her divorce from this husband, because after all, the halach is like Rabban Gamliel. And therefore, v'honami kid b'di'evid dami. And in this situation, where the woman was already pregnant from her arusa, so then we would believe it. This is like a b'di'evid situation. It's after the fact. So even if the husband hadn't been moda, Rabban Gamliel would have said in this situation that we believe the woman. Now, this is a break point. With this, we conclude today's share.